James Rosen joins us right now to talk about what it's like being again the center of another storm. James, how do you keep doing this?
Well, just putting one foot in front of the other. Look, I'm honored, Brian, to of course to be on your program, but to play some small role in holding our public officials to account. I grant you that I have not suffered from a lack of attention from the Obama administration across the two terms.
But they are not patting you on the back. They're checking you out and sometimes editing you out. Here is the exchange. First off, let's just do the whole thing and give people an idea, because it's a brand new hour, some people tuning in for the first time. Victoria Nuland, taking a question from James Rosen, February 6, 2013, cut 12.
There have been reports that intermittently and outside of the formal P5 plus one mechanisms, the Obama administration or members of it have conducted direct, secret, bilateral talks with Iran. Is that true or false?
With regard to the kind of thing that you're talking about on a government-to-government level, no.
That stand out for you at all, James?
Yes. So that was February 2013. At that very moment, when Victoria Nuland, standing at the State Department podium, briefing the press, told me that there were no government-to-government contacts between the United States and Iran, those contacts were in fact underway for more than a year. So then I go back to the State Department briefing 10 months later, when that whole back channel had been publicly disclosed, to confront Victoria Nuland's successor at the State Department podium as spokesperson, Jen Psaki, and demand an answer as to whether or not Victoria Nuland, in the previous instance, had lied to me.
Cut 13.
Is it the policy of the State Department, where the preservation of the secrecy of secret negotiations is concerned, to lie in order to achieve that goal?
James, I think there are times where diplomacy needs privacy in order to progress. This is a good example of that.
Okay, so there, in essence, Jen Psaki said, in response to a question about lying, it appeared to endorse lying as a method for preserving the secrecy of secret negotiations, in essence confirming that her predecessor had lied from the podium. We used that very clip between Jen Psaki and me on that night's special report with Brett Baer that was in December of 2013. We now know that that very day, when the State Department was uploading the video of that briefing to its website and its YouTube channel, somebody at the State Department called a technician who works on the uploading of these videos to the archive and demanded that the entire 8-minute exchange between Jen Psaki and me, including the clip you just played, be deleted from the video and a white flash be placed in its stead. And that's how it sat there for 2.5 years. Recently, there was a controversy over a New York Times Magazine profile of Ben Rhodes, the Deputy National Security Advisor at the White House for Strategic Communications, and whether or not he had deceived the American people about the timing and origins of the Iran nuclear talks. I remembered these two previous briefings. I asked my producer to get a hold of those tapes, and that's when, or tapes, videos, files, digital files, and that's when we learned that this deletion had happened. We confronted the State Department about it, and there was some more discussion of this at the podium of the State Department by the briefer, Elizabeth Trudeau. Is that sound you have?
Cut 9.
There was a glitch in the State Department video. When Fox flagged it for us, we actually replaced it with a video from DVIDS, which is the military repository where a lot of news media gets its video. The whole video was there. And we also annotated it on our YouTube channel.
Glitch. You buy that at the time?
No. And I told Elizabeth so.
It was a sunspot.
The only way that this could appropriately be described as a glitch is if one were referring to a glitch in our normal operating protocols. But it was not a glitch as everyone understood her to be intending to mean the word, which was some kind of blurp on the video landscape that just happened to erase the entirety of my exchange with Jen Psaki, and particularly the one exchange where she appeared to admit that her predecessor had lied about the Iran talks. And when we brought this to state's attention, you heard how Elizabeth Trudeau characterized it. Subsequent to that, the Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs, Admiral John Kirby, launched an investigation because he considered it much more serious. And yesterday at the State Department briefing podium, he announced the results of that investigation.
Cut 10.
We do not know who made the request to edit the video or why it was made. They tried to pursue it, but, I mean, it was 3 years ago. And the individual who took the call just simply doesn't have a better memory of it. And there were no rules, no regulations in place that prohibited this.
So no investigation. We don't know who did it. We just know the editor that actually executed it, which she does not remember who told her to do that. Does that sound plausible?
Not really. If you are going to retain in your memory a conversation from 3 years ago in which you were on the receiving end of an order that you considered troubling to the point that you would indeed remember it 3 years later, it stands to reason that you would also remember who was on the issuing end of that order. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were further disclosure in this case and certainly further demands for further investigation in or out of the State Department.
All right. First off, a little bit of our exchange this morning with John Kirby, Cut 5.
Well, in this particular case, did the editor remember who called her and directed her to do this?
She did not. She did not know who the call
was. Does that mean because she gets these calls all the time, there are too many for her to remember this one in particular?
I don't think that's the case, no.
So why couldn't she remember? If she remembers deleting it, why doesn't she remember who gave her that direction?
Because there's only few people that could give that have the power to edit out the record.
Look, I was as curious about this as you were and as James was. That's why I wanted our Office of the Legal Advisor to take a look at this. I took this very seriously. I can't speak for the memory of this individual. This happened 3 years ago,
right.
And I just can't speak for what she remembered or she didn't remember. All she remembered was that it was a request that was passed on. The caller was passing on the request from somebody else in my bureau, in the Public Affairs Bureau. And again, we don't find that acceptable.
And so, for example, Brian, recently in the news, and we talked about it last week, we had the State Department Office of Inspector General issuing that report after an investigation into Hillary Clinton's email practices. And a lot of people have conveyed to me that they think this, too, would be an appropriate subject for further investigation by the Office of the Inspector General at State.
And then, by the way, does it sound, I mean, to me, you can definitely round up who would be able to have the power to able to edit that, who might be looking at that. You don't just take in a random order from an intern to say, you know, it seems to me Jen Psaki over-answered. Let's edit that out of the public record. There's only so many people who could give that order. But John Kirby didn't stop there. He also called you out this morning, Cut 1.
I want to thank James Rosen, your correspondent, for bringing this to my attention, because if he hadn't a couple of weeks ago, I would never have known that this occurred. So, first of all, kudos to him. And he's a journalist that I have great respect for. So I thank him for that.
You know, I am grateful to Admiral Kirby for treating this matter with the seriousness with which it should have been. And I think it took a lot of character on his part to proceed as he did, even if some are finding his actions unacceptably limited. And in terms of just hearing one of the major spokesmen of the Obama administration say anything kind about James Rosen of Fox News, I told Brett Baer it was like an up is down, black is white Planet of the Apes world of some kind.
Well, I just don't think, and you know, I was very...
One, it's nice to visit, I should point out, I should add.
Yeah. James, let me ask you this. What are the chances that we're going to be talking a couple of days from now and have other reporters looking back at other maybe good penetrating questions that they've asked the State Department and find out if that's been edited out too? Do you really think this is an anomaly?
I think anomaly is the wrong word in this sense, because an anomaly sounds a bit like a glitch. What we have here was something very deliberate, as Admiral Kirby so described it yesterday. And it's not anomalous, it's purposeful. And as of right now, we cannot locate a single other instance where the record of official proceedings at the Department of State or any place else has been tampered with in this way.
Have you looked at it, or is it just too many questions, too many appearances to even go back at?
Right. I mean, I think the only practicable way you'd be able to do that is to do some random searching. But you know, we've also asked the State Department if they can provide any other instances, and they do not have any that they can provide. And
right.
Look, it's not just any piece of video that was deleted here.
Do you have a sense that? Do you feel compelled to go back and really think about this, to look at other stories you did, other questions, and also think about your colleagues that asked good questions that you thought to yourself, well, that spokesperson just screwed that up?
Well, One thing that precipitates me going back and thinking about this is the acceptance of invitations to appear on radio programs to discuss it. I have been gratified that my colleagues over at the State Department press corps, what they call the diplomatic corps, did see fit to follow up on this. And in fact, I think it was their dogged questioning in the days after Elizabeth Trudeau first described it as a glitch that helped light a fire under John Kirby and get him to seek the assistance of the Office of the Legal Counsel, the legal advisor at the Department of State, in running this investigation. That shows a measure of seriousness. So I do think that we'll see further demands for disclosure on this from the press corps, and I do have the feeling that you'll see some further demands for disclosure and further investigation from the Congress.
Have you heard from other people from other outlets who have expressed to you aghast at this whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. If you can keep that answers brief, I'd appreciate it.
You know, maybe this is what happens to you when you spend too many hours reading through the depositions in the Trump University lawsuit, which I spent yesterday doing when this broke. But, for example, Glenn Kessler of The Washington Post tweeted out yesterday that this was outrageous. And frankly, you know, our media relations division at Fox News has been sending me just clipping after clipping and report after report on this. It's got a lot of attention, and I'm grateful for that. I'm honored to play some small role in holding our public officials to account, and grateful for your attention to it as well.
Absolutely. And remember, Eric went out and was able to find one of these cuts, right?
That's right. That's right. And it was, I think, on the website of Politico, where it was still living at the time of the white flash on the State Department website.
He is James Rosen. Always in the eye of the storm. But just keep in mind, even when you're not, even when you're talking about picnics squeegee guys, we still are interested in James Rosen, not just because you're in the middle of controversy again. Remember that.
But because you love me.
Right. As much as a man can.
There it is. Okay, everybody.
James?
We'll be back with more.
Right after this.